I'm going to be talking on some things that may upset some people today. I may have some people want to challenge what I'm going to speak on, but I have to speak on it. The Lord has been impressing upon me for a while now, and it's time that I come in and do a little soul searching for myself and for the church. Not so much our church as the church. There's some major problems out there that I think need to be spoken on and addressed. And if I'm not willing to do that, and I'm not willing to speak out when I see something that I feel is very wrong, then I have no business being in this pulpit. Then I shouldn't be an elder, I should step down. For those of you that don't know me, that are coming, we have some new visitors today. I am Steve Crane, and I'm one of the three elders of our church. Just to let you know, this strange-looking old guy up here rattles on. But that's who I am, and feel free at any time to talk to me. And anybody that wants to disagree with me on what I'm going to be speaking on a little bit today, don't get upset. Come and talk to me afterwards if you disagree with me or think I'm wrong for what I'm about to speak on. I'm going to start with Isaiah. As everybody knows, I love the Old Testament. There's so much knowledge, so much there. But let's start with Isaiah 3, 9 through 11. Their brazen countenance testifies against them. Their sins like Sodom speak out and do not withhold anything. Woe to their souls, for they have brought evil upon themselves. Tell each righteous man that it is good, for they shall eat the fruit of their deeds. But woe unto the wicked person who does evil, for the recompense of their hand will be dealt them. So what is Isaiah talking here? He was speaking, got to remember Isaiah, when he was speaking here was just before Judah was taken into captivity in Babylon. The Babylonians were about to invade and take them and carry everybody off, and you'll see that that's where the book of Daniel comes from and several other books, but he was one of the prophets at that time. And he's letting Israel know, or Judah, Israel was already captured 3 years earlier. But he's letting them know that, whoa, your sins, the way you're acting is wrong. So when I read this, and I was reading it the other day and studying with a friend of mine, and said, you know, it's like the stock market, what's being said here, when you're looking at the two different scenarios. You're looking at the righteous person and their stocks. But their stock has what? Dividends. And what are dividends? Dividends are stock, they're paid on stocks. And you didn't have to do anything. You didn't have to buy any more stocks. Your stock, whether it went up or down, didn't matter. You were paid afterwards, like a reward you are receiving afterwards. So you have that dividends being paid. And so the righteous man has the good stock, and he receives dividends. Not here on this earth, not in this lifetime, but the next lifetime with the Lord. That is our dividends, our rewards. We will receive that. The good person receives that. The righteous man receives the dividends, plus they have the stock. And the stock moves up and down, but they still have the stock. And then they get the reward that comes later, which is the dividends. Where the evil man, the wicked man, he has stock too. But he doesn't have the dividends. But he's really enjoying when the stock goes up and he can buy more things and have more. And there's my life and I'm really enjoying this stock that I'm getting. But then when he dies, he doesn't get the dividends. He gets just the opposite. He enjoyed that stock while he had it, that short time. But then afterwards, he lost it all. He had no salvation. He has nothing there. Church, there's a lot of churches out there right now. And they encourage the wicked. Hard to believe, isn't it? That a Christian church would say, come as you are. We'll accept you the way you are. Don't have to change. We don't want you to change. We just want you to come as you are because Jesus loves you. And you're right. Jesus loves us all. But there's requirements. And we don't seem to realize that there's requirements that we have that Jesus wants us to change. When he had the woman caught in the act of adultery, what did he say to her? Go and sin no more. Not go ahead and have a ball. Go sin all you want. I encourage you, in fact, to go sin. No. Go and sin no more. But yet there are churches out there. And I'm not talking off the wall kind of denomination that nobody ever heard of. In fact, one of the churches here in town that encourages you to come as you are, which means if you're gay marriage, come on, it's fine. You want to have an abortion? We'll drive you there. We'll take you so that you're safe. And have that abortion. That's all right that you killed that baby. Jesus loves you. So you're fine. That's all that matters. Jesus won't get angry. He won't drive you away. He'll just take care of you. He'll continue to love you. So come as you are. You want to be a cross-dresser and you want to dress like a woman? That's all right. Come on, sit in the front row. We encourage it. Jesus doesn't want you to change. He just loves you, accepts you as you are. There's a woman, I'm not going to mention names, but she had a tremendous ministry that she had going on. And she was online with it, and it was going good. Well, she got into a seminar and then took a sabbatical to study the love of Jesus. And she completely, totally changed and felt that anything was okay. You could be a pedophile. That's right. You want to teach our kids? Go ahead. Teach our kids. The things that are being accepted by the church today. It's, you know, people have said that, well, you know, Jesus doesn't, he's not getting angry. He's not, He's just going to love us. Regardless of what we do, he's still going to love us. He's going to continue to take care of us. It's okay. Last week, Terry kind of stole a little of my thunder because I was looking at something when he talked about the money changers. And what did Jesus do? In the book of John, it says he fashioned a whip. And he drove them out, physically drove them out, the money changers. He tipped over their tables. And he drove away those that were selling and exchanging sacrifices because of the abomination that they were doing. And he said, you know, this is a house of prayer, and you have made it a den of thieves. That actually, to a little side note on that, that actually fulfills a prophecy. Actually, two prophecies, but two different prophets. Isaiah said that exact word that was going to happen. Jeremiah said it. He even said that he would fashion a whip and drive them out. So when people say, well, you know, there's nothing in the Old Testament, here's prophecies that are fulfilled by Jesus, showing one more hand that Jesus is the Messiah. He only fulfilled 101 prophecies so far. Try to fill two and see what happens. But in both Jeremiah and in Isaiah, tell about Jesus driving him out of the temple. So that just a little, like I said, a little side note. But here, if Jesus is just total love, it doesn't matter what you do, I'm going to encourage it. He would have never driven them out. The money changers were cheating people on giving them money in exchange for different currencies that they had. They were cheating them. They were stealing half their monies. And those that had the animals for sacrifice were telling them, oh, you can't use that. That, it's got a little blemish on it. But I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to sell you another one. I'll take this one in exchange, and I will sell you another one at a profit for me. And then turn around the one that they said had a blemish, they turn around and sell to the next guy. And Jesus saw it was an abomination. It was taking what God had intended it to be at the temple, and then we're turning it into an abomination. They were sinning. They were stealing. They were cheating. And Jesus chased them out. Had nothing to do with and wanted nothing to do with them. The problem that I'm seeing is that the churches are no longer interested in a relationship with Jesus, but there's churches out there that are saying Jesus is my shield, not my salvation. He's my shield, so everything I do is blocked. Doesn't matter. I can do whatever I want, whenever I want. I can continue to live an abominable life, and these churches will accept me. To me, what was disgusting was when our former president, Biden, had these LBG, the whatever they got all of those different acronyms, and on a holiday, turned around and brought them to the White House and honored them. I don't remember if it was Easter or, but he brought them and honored them and glorified them. And the nation didn't speak out. The church didn't speak out. You didn't hear one person from the pulpit saying, it is wrong, it's an abomination. As a church, if we continue to allow things to go on without speaking out, then we're condoning it. We're encouraging it. Go ahead and do it. It doesn't matter. If it doesn't matter, why am I even here? Why did I get out of bed this morning? It was nice and warm in bed. But the church has to speak out. They took prayer out of schools. And when they took prayer out of schools, the schools started to change. They started to acclimate our children. They started to tell our children that we were racist, that we were wrong, that we, oh, you're terrible people. They did it because we allowed the prayer to come out of our schools. If the Christian nation that we are and the churches would have stood up and said, no, we will have prayer in school or our kids aren't going, what would have happened? There'd still be prayer in church. And the abominations that went along with that, taking prayer out, would not have happened. But we allowed it to happen. Relationship and building that relationship with the Lord is critical. I'm not saying that we need to live a perfect, sinless life, because that's not going to happen. Jesus forgives us. When we accepted him as our Lord and Savior, he started to forgive us. He cleansed us. He purified us. But he also said, go and sin no more. Not go ahead and sin. Does it mean we're not going to stumble and fall? Yeah, we are. You ought to see the scars on my knees. But he's there to pick you up. He's there to build that relationship with you. And the relationship with Jesus is the most important relationship we can have. But if we don't speak out, we condone it. We say it's okay. In Proverbs 28:13, says, and he that coveteth his sins shall not prosper. But whosoever confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Forsaking the sin. It's important. It's saying, Lord, I'm sinned. I've done wrong. But I'm sorry for what I did. Forgive me for what I did. And yes, Lord, I stumbled and I fell again, and I shouldn't have done it. Lord, forgive me. I'm repenting. I don't want to do it again. I want that relationship with the Lord God. I want to have that relationship. The relationship is the whole key. If we have the relationship with Jesus, we want to be like Jesus. We want to be as he wants us to be. We want to change. We want to be able to say, look, I'm not the perfect person, but you are, Lord, and I want to be like you. You guide me. You help me. I want to worship you. I want to be there for you. I want an abomination to stink where I can't stand it. I don't want to be part of it. I don't want to encourage it. I want to say it's wrong. I want to be able to speak out. And the relationship is an important part of it. When The parable of the ten maidens. You have five maidens that had just a little bit of oil. You had another five maidens that had ample supply of oil because they wanted to be prepared. They wanted to be right. And when the bridegroom came, which the bridegroom represents Jesus, coming to get his bride, which is us, and the maidens that are there are part of the ceremony, but they didn't have enough oil for their lamp because they didn't have the relationship with Jesus that they needed to have. And what happened? Because they didn't have that relationship, because they weren't looking for the future with Jesus, five of them didn't go in. They were the ones that were looking at the wickedness, the enjoyment of the life right now. So when it came time for the bridegroom to come in, they had no oil. They had to run off to get more. And they didn't get to be at the feast with the bridegroom. So they lost out. And a lot of people are in the churches today say, well, yeah, but Jesus, even if you're not good, you don't have the relationship, you don't have, then it don't matter. That don't matter, because Jesus is love and he's going to take care of it. He's going to be just fine with it. But I believe I've read that Jesus said, "Be gone, I never knew you." When the people said, "But Lord, Lord, did I not prophesy in your name? Lord, did I not cast out demons in your name?" He said, "Be gone, I didn't know you. I don't know you." There's no relationship. There's no bond. Once we get saved, that's not the end of it. Now I can just live my life and do what I'm doing. I have a responsibility, and that is to build my relationship with Jesus and encourage others to build their relationship with Jesus and do anything I can to help that. That's what I'm supposed to be doing. Trying to help everyone to understand that the relationship with Jesus is the greatest thing you can have. And when you have it, you don't want to sin. You don't want to do the things you did before. You know, it was funny. I remember years ago that felt that, well, if I give my heart to Jesus, you know, I got to give up everything. I got to give it up. You know, I got to give up drinking. Boy, I don't know how many times I spent over that white receptacle going like this because I was so sick from drinking too much. I gotta give up that foul language. That was easy enough to do. Even though I was a Marine and that was common language. But It was easy. The things that I thought I was giving up, actually I was. I was giving up sin. I was giving up death. I was giving up hell, because that's where I was headed. And I found out that, you know, you can get drunk in the spirit. I know Terry and I, there's been a couple times we've out here and it took us a while to get up. And you know what? You don't have a hangover when you're done. And you don't get sick. You get healed. You get encouraged. You grow. Because we're growing with that relationship with Jesus. And it's so important to just continue to do it, just continue to grow. And yes, he's going to forgive us. Like I said, when we stumble, we will. I don't care who you are, you're going to stumble. But he's right there to pick us up, brush us off. And it's important that we don't say, "That's okay that I stumbled, that don't matter." No, because when I stumble, I say, "Lord, forgive me." We need to repent for it. We need to continue to grow in him. We're here, we're sitting in his sanctuary today because we want to grow in him. If we're not, if we're sitting here just because it's an obligation, then we don't belong here. We don't come and worship the Lord for an obligation. I come to worship the Lord out of love. I love him. He loves me more. But I love him. I can't help it. I want to be here. I want to be in his presence. I want to be here. I want to glorify him. I mean, we have a fantastic worship team. And I love just getting into the presence of God through that music. Just feeling him. He's with us all the time. He never stops being with us. But sometimes we feel him a little bit more. It's our connection, not his. His connection's always there. It's always going to be there. But he will not be there if we are living a life that is an abomination to him. He can't stand to be around anybody who is an abomination. We will suffer because of it. But church, I just want to encourage, I'm going to stop here very shortly, but I just want to encourage you, church, speak out. Speak out. When you hear something or see something that's an abomination and people are encouraging that abomination, speak out. I'm not saying get in somebody's face and say, "Oh, hey, you're a terrible person." No. We know it, but that's all right, John. But we have to speak out. We have to speak to our politicians. Call your congressmen, your senators. If you see something, there's something going on that you're saying, "This is an abomination. This is something wrong." Speak out to it. I want to know how many of you believe that men should compete in women's sports? Anybody? See any hands? No? I didn't think so. Now, I also would like to know how many of you have called your congressmen or senators and said, "This is an abomination. You need to do something about it." Okay, there's like three people. But yet we all are saying, "Oh, it's an abomination." But we're not speaking out. We're not telling our politicians. We got to remember our politicians work for us. We tend to think we work for them, but that's the other way around. And we can put a man or take him out of offices, and they need to know that. But if we don't speak out, then we're encouraging it. Then we're condoning it. We're saying it's okay. We sit there at the kitchen table and complain about it. But that's not changing anything. We need to, as a body, speak out. Don't be afraid to speak out. Talk to your politicians. Talk to your pastors, if need be, or elders in this case of our church, and say, "Hey, I think this is an abomination. What are we as a church going to do? Where are we at?" So it's just, church, I just want you to understand that we cannot allow this to continue. Now, I know that many years ago, there were the Pentecostal churches. This one here in particular, when it was the old Lakeshore Tabernacle, They had a lot of rules to keep you from sinning. And there's very few of us that were here back then. Hi, Cheryl. I know. But there were many rules. You forget the dance. We can't do the dance over here, ballroom dancing, because dancing, if it's not before the Lord, you ain't doing it. That's a sin. So we classified some things as sins that were not really sins, but we put gates up. You put a gate up to prevent you from sinning. That's like when people say it's drinking is a sin. But when you look at the 613 laws of Israel, the mention of the only sin that they mention there for drinking is to preach drunk. Preaching drunk in the synagogue was a sin. So then you would put up a gate to say, well, okay, how do I prevent from drinking or preaching drunk? Well, I got to stop you from drinking on the Sabbath. If you don't drink on the Sabbath, you won't be preaching drunk. So it's illegal to, it's wrong to do it. So we'll just say you can't do it. Well, what if you spoke another time? Well, then drinking's illegal. It's a sin to drink. And Jesus turned water into wine, and it wasn't grape juice. There's a whole nother teach on new wine, old wine. So Terry Coco and I have had some good conversations on that one. But understanding that we're not saying be judgmental on everything. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying be judgmental on this, that, and the other. Oh, look at those people. They're dancing. Oh, that guy had a cigarette. He smoked a pipe. We can be judgmental, and then we're as sinful as they are, as those that were saying it's wrong to do. What is important is the things that we know God has called out as an abomination is an abomination. It's a sin, and we need to speak out against it. God did not make mistake, and if you're born a man, you're a man. If you're born a woman, you're a woman. God doesn't make mistakes. God doesn't make mistakes. So to encourage it, and encourage, I'm going to speak out honestly on gay marriage. God did not say, Adam and Joel, you two get together. He didn't say, a man shall leave his mother, and another man will leave his mother, and they'll get married. No, a man shall leave his mother, and a woman leave her home, and the two shall become one. Anything else is an abomination. There are some people out there who want to marry their dog, and they apply for marriage licenses. It's, you know, we laugh about it, but if we allowed it and said, yeah, go ahead and do that, we're condoning it. And then you say, oh, you know, I got a really nice dog. You want to marry him? I'm encouraging it. No, it's ridiculous. We look at certain things like that, and we know it's ridiculous. It's not saying that, you know, oh, yeah, you didn't wear a dress to church. What a sinful person. No, we go overboard sometimes with certain rules and regulations that people seem to think that we need to have. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the outright abomination that God has determined for abominations. I mean, fortunately, the Old Testament, Moses' laws, don't partake because, you know, the stoning would hurt. Because they would take them out and they would stone them because that abomination was affecting the congregation. So they were taken out and killed. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying we need to, as a body, as a church, our church as well as the Christian church period needs to start standing up for what's right and speak out about it. And I know this isn't the normal kind of sermon that I normally would be giving, but it's just something the Lord has been impressing upon me here more and more lately. And if I don't speak out and the church doesn't speak out, then I might as well give up. We're encouraging it. And I'm not about to encourage it. I'm going to condemn it. And I'm going to continue to do that. So it's kind of a short word today, but it's cold. Everybody wants to go home anyhow. They don't need to be browbeaten by me anymore about a relate. But the biggest thing, again, church, I want to point out is the relationship with Jesus. When you have a true relationship with Jesus, we become more like him every day. And as we do, we speak out. We love one another. We don't encourage sin. We pray against it. It's so important that that relationship, the relationship with Jesus, is the most important thing in our lives. And I'm getting a little older in my years now, but someday, hopefully not too soon, but someday I'm going to be standing in his presence. And I want him to say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," rather than, "Be gone, I never knew you." So as we continue to grow, I encourage you to fellowship with one another, build off of one another, seek that relationship with the Lord. Just seek it. He wants it as bad as we do, more so than we do. He wants that relationship with us. So I'm going to end it right now. And Heavenly Father, I thank you for a glorious day, Father. It might be a little cool, but that helps us to appreciate the warm weather that's coming. Father, we just thank you for your blessings. Yes, Lord. Thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your relationship with us. Yes, thank you. And Lord, we just ask that we continue to grow closer to you and to grow more like you. Father, I just say a blessing over this congregation, those that are here and those that were not here today, Lord, but reach out, touch our hearts, keep it where we want you first and foremost in our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.